Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy. Yeah. Right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Concepcion.
And I'm Rosie Knight.
And welcome to the final preview episode of X-Ray Vision for our official return on Thursday, May 2nd. And we're so delighted today to be talking about what, Rosie?
That unbelievable episode 5 of X-Men 97. We had to come back to talk about it. Come on.
X-Men 97, remember it. We open with TV journalist Trish Tilby going to the X-Mansion to interview the X-Men as part of FC News' story about mutants and their ongoing integration into society. She sits with Hank, she tours the ground, she talks with Jubilee, and she has an extended sit-down with Scott.
Mm-hmm. We also doesn't learn, go well.
It doesn't go great. We also learn that the UN is set to formally admit the mutant nation of Genosha. Magneto, Rogue, and Third Wheel Gambit fly to Genosha for the celebrations. Gambit unwilling to let Rogue and Magneto be alone. And they are welcomed as heroes. It's a utopia. We get glimpses of lots of members of the mutant family, including our favorite Glob Herman, Leech, Pixie, Boom Boom, Dazzler, Lindley, Marrow, Callisto, Exodus, many, many more. Madeline Pryor and Nightcrawler wonderfully. Nightcrawler, wonderful to see Nightcrawler. They're there to greet the X-Men.
He's back. He loves Gambit. It's fantastic to see the two of them back together.
It really is. And the Genosians have a particular reverence for Magneto, as does Rogue. Mm-hmm. Something more than a reverence, perhaps. And that really, really bothers Gambit. Scott, in his interview with Trish, goes way, 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 way too deep, spilling info about his time with Jean, her Phoenix powers, the time she held Scott's eye blast back during their romantic lovemaking session in the desert. He talks about his son, Nate, with Madeline, and then he blows up and he walks out. Not a good look. Meanwhile, actual Jean is out on the X grounds trying to figure out which memories are hers, which memories are Madeline's, and she kisses Logan. Ah! He basically says, Ovid, whoa!
Guys, this is like a legendary triple we're seeing getting built here. I mean, Logan and Jean, that's like one of the ultimate X-Men ships. So I was very happy. They really do everything in this episode.
They do
like
it all.
They do it all. They're going from the 80s to the 90s to the zeros. We get new X-Men. We get Logan and Jean. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. Everything you want if you're an X-Men fan happened here. Uh-huh. And so Logan basically says, listen, that never happened. you're supposed to be with Scott, and that's it. He walks away. Magneto meets with the Genosha Council, Emma Frost, Callisto, Sebastian Shaw, Banshee, Madeline, and the honorary human, Moira MacTaggert, one of the great allies of mutantdom. They want Magneto to be the head of Genosha's government. And Magneto's like, I'm not sure about this, but I'll tell you what. If you put Rogue as my co-leader with me, I'll do it. Jean and Scott talk about Nathan, their son. They kiss. But shocking turn of events, it turns out Scott is telepathically linked with Madeline. It is a psychic affair. Jean finds him. She blows up. And then all of a sudden, a burst of psychic anguish hits Jean. Because back on Genosha, things are happening. Rogue tells Gambit about her relationship with Magneto, how she really feels about him. She loves him, and she can actually touch him.
Huge change as well here. That Rogue's powers are shifting and changing. Canon. Rogue being able to touch Magneto, I don't think that's canon. I loved that moment.
And it's more than that. She actually feels like he can see her, and the vision that he has for a mutant culture and society is truly entrancing to her. They broke up because there was too much baggage, obviously, with him being a supervillain and her trying to go straight. But now that they're going to rule Genosha together, she makes a clean break with Gambit. The party on Genosha is just, it's unbelievable. It's wonderful. It's a massive celebration. Gambit, of course, can't enjoy it because his heart is in pieces. Then the Wild Sentinel strikes.
Yeah, but Rogue can't enjoy it either because as she's doing a delightful dance with Magneto, she realizes she actually loves Gambit and she leaves Magneto behind and says, he was right. Some things are deeper than skin. And then she's off, but, you know, the Wild Sentinel strikes. Is it a Tri-Sentinel? It looks like a Tri-Sentinel, but those have only been in the comics like 8 times.
Yeah.
But the 3 heads, the 6 arms. Also, it has big living tribunal energy with the 3 heads.
It really does.
It is. This action sequence was just unbelievable. I thought they'd already done a fantastic job with action in this series, but this particular episode is just unreal.
It's shades of Attack on Titan. It was just massive. In the end, the Sentinel is defeated, but the cost is unthinkable. Untold millions of mutants are dead, including Madeline Pryor, as up until recently, series head Bo DeMeo revealed on Twitter that, Madeline didn't make it among millions of others, including Magneto, Leech, and Gambit, who gave his life to stop the Wild Sentinel. Talking points. Where do we even start?
Okay, so let's start. I had no idea that they would get to the psychic affair so quickly. So in the comics,
it's really jumped way up.
If you remember last week, earlier this week, actually, I was complaining about how Scott is actually like kind of a bum and he cheats on Jean with Emma. But here they do the psychic affair with Madeline, which I thought worked really well. So we're already in new X-Men territory. So if you've read those fantastic comics by Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely, then you knew that when they went to Genosha, this wasn't going to end well.
Well, can I say, this is potentially a spoiler. So listener beware. But when they come back from the mental affair, the first shot is Emma going, I wonder if it isn't her that's
I know,
this.
I think, or if she is... puppet mastering them from behind. I did think that it was a very defined cut. They did say, oh, look, it's Emma Frost looking sexy and like she's causing problems.
Yeah.
And it's like, I would believe it. But yeah, I mean, they got here so fast. It was so incredible. I think that for people who aren't really deeply engaged with that new X-Men era, this was a shock. I had so many people DM me. I had friends in my messages being like, what the fuck, man?
It's
like,
crazy.
I did not see this coming. Especially, this feels like a a season finale or a mid-season break. You know, it doesn't just feel like a random episode five. So I think one of the most interesting things here is we still have five episodes to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're seeing the beginning of the setup for Krakoa here. I think that Scott being so angry with the humans and kind of breaking away, I think the fact that now the mutants are going to feel like they need somewhere that's just for them that the humans can't touch. You know, I think we could be seeing a situation where by season two, we have Krakoa, we have the resurrection protocol, and you're bringing back those mutants who we lost here, which, by the way, like you said, is millions of mutants. Genosha was essentially like a safe haven for mutants, and now it's just gone.
Yeah, there might be, I don't know, a dozen left, like not very many. Whoever wasn't there, plus the survivors who we see, who included Pixie and a few others. One thing that really piqued my interest was the reference to the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So the gardens, the healing gardens, those are a Krakoa thing, which it's so... And the gardens also include like the ability to bring back mutants, which makes me feel like, I think you're right, like we might go to Krakoa a lot faster than we think. I didn't think we'd get here this fast.
No. I thought the psychic affair was going to be maybe at the end of the season. But they've done such a good job kind of mixing timelines and rolling around and also expanding. In New X-Men, the Genosha stuff is really famous because you're literally there for like a couple of pages and then it's gone. And that's where the fantastic Negasonic Teenage Warhead comes from, who people know from Deadpool, you know, famously died instantly character. But I love that here they get let us see Genosha and they used it as a place. I mean, you mentioned them, but we get to see so many characters here. There's so much fun to be had. We also get these incredibly emotional moments. The moment with Leech and the Morlocks and they're underground and Leech says, oh no, Magneto said I'd never have to be scared again. And then later you get the callback to that when Magneto's holding Leech as he seemingly, you know, kills himself and uses his powers to... you know, get that final hit in to this giant, you know, wild sentinel. And then obviously you have Gambit who gets this huge, this is a great episode for me because I am a Gambit apologist.
This is the best Gambit ever.
And I'm a Scott hater, Gambit apologist. Yeah. Scott's losing it. Gambit is getting propaganda all over the place here. He's powering up the sentinel after getting stabbed to defeat it. That's one of the most badass things ever. Also the moment where he powers up his motorcycle and just throws it at Rogue to knock her out the air is so good. It's so delightful and it was so emotional and I know a lot of people were just totally broken by this episode. But I would say if you lost a mutant that you loved today, don't worry. Because I think Krakoa and the Resurrection Protocols are coming very soon.
What is the rest of the season? I will tell you what I think the rest of the season looks like in a no spoiler way for those of you not familiar with X-Men lore. I think a mysterious mutant named Zorn is going to show up and everything that happens with Zorn is going to be the season finale of season one of this show.
Yeah.
It makes too much sense. This mysterious mutant, very powerful, named Zorn, will show up with this interesting face mask and will be a hero. And then certain reveals will happen that will be mind-blowing for people who aren't aware of X-Men lore. That's what I think is going to happen because we got here so fast.
We got here so quick. Okay, so I think we've gotten in the credits, we know they're kind of revealing stuff that happens. We get to see the Shi'ar, we get to see Lilandra, who are these kind of space X-Men. I think we will get to see them before the end of the season. I think that with mutants dead, we're going to need extra help to protect the Earth. I also was very happy to see a flash of a moment with Storm returning. I think now Storm will return, and I think we will get one of the best kind of issues and arcs of X-Men, which is going to be the battle for the leadership of the X-Men. But now it's going to be because Magneto is gone rather than Charles being gone. Will we see Charles resurrected before the end of the season? I could believe it. I could believe it, but maybe that's a season two thing. This was just so great. 10 out of 10. Up there for the best episode of TV.
Season three, season four, like as many seasons as they want to make, keep making it because I am blown away. This is like top level stuff.
I'm telling you, this is one of the best episodes of TV this year.
Yes.
I honestly think Disney Plus is missing a trick by not being out here just hyping this up like it's an episodic live action show. Like they should be doing like breakdowns after this. You can speak to talent. You can do this. This is the show people are talking about this week. And it just delivered on every front.
Agree. And I also think, you know, with so much discourse about like, is the MCU done? Is the gas running out? Is it slowing down? This is the other thing that they have like in their holster is the X-Men, which have
exactly
has not, and this is the return of the X-Men, the animated series in the form of X-Men 97 is proof of concept that this is just such a powerful story, collection of heroes, the romance,
the
soap opera nature of it, the action, the overall the strength of the metaphor and what it means to people. Like this is, it's going to be huge when the X-Men hit in live action. It's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Let's close the show with Who's Who. Every show we close the show with a variety of fast moving segments. Today it's Who's Who, in which we talk about some of our favorite weird characters from a given universe. In this episode, we talk about some of the incredible variety of mutants that we see in this episode. Rosie, who did you see?
I was very happy to see Boom Boom, all-time favorite character for me. Would love to see her come back in, but she's probably dead. R.I.P. Boom Boom. Pixie. I have this fantastic X-Men poster where for some reason they drew Pixie really big and I always think about her. I love the Morlock, so it was incredible to see Callisto. Also, I was losing it that Glob Herman showed up after we talked about him on the last episode. I literally texted you straight away. And then everyone in the Discord was like, what does Jason know? How did he come up, Glob? He's back. So that was incredible to see him. I loved what they did with Leech. I actually thought
Leech.
Yeah, I loved the fact that you could just be looking around and kind of like picking out, oh, this is a character I loved. Oh, this is a character I haven't seen for a long time. You know, it's really special to be able to have a roster that big so you can do that and kind of make people excited.
Yeah, it was tremendous. I mean, you just named all my favorites, honestly. Seeing Dazzler in the 90s costume was amazing. Everything you said, I'll double down on Megan. Gwyn, aka Pixie. I was not expecting to see her. Also loved seeing Little Leech, who plays such an important role in so many of the stories that I loved, X-Men stories that I loved from the 90s. I can't wait to see where this show is going. Unbelievable. I have to talk about an incredible moment in which Cable is swinging into action, but something pulls him back into the timelines. He gets jumped somewhere in time, but before he goes, Madeline realizes that who he is, that he is a future version of her son.
And he says, sorry, Mom, as he kind of jumps back. It seems like he has one of Bishop's kind of gauntlets that can travel through time. And he says not again. So I also wonder how many times he's tried to stop this particular disaster. But that moment was so good. I love Cable. I love that Maddie got to see him before she passed, RIP. And I'm excited to see how he comes into play going into the rest of the season.
Well, that's it for our final preview episode of X-Ray Vision ahead of our launch. If anything huge happens before our launch on Thursday, May 2nd, we can't cover it because we're coming back May 2nd. Anything that you're looking forward to ahead of launch, Rosie?
I'm just looking forward to being back talking to you about this cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm definitely excited for X-Men Episode 6 now.
Where do they go?
Where do they go?
See you next show.
Bye.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mother's Day is right around the corner, and in true She Pivots fashion, we're highlighting moms who've dedicated their lives and their pivots to supporting mothers. The iconic Christy Turlington will join us to talk about launching Every Mother Counts after pivoting from her 90s supermodel days. And later, the co-CEOs of Baby to Baby will share how they're addressing the needs for millions of babies and moms. So tune in and subscribe to She Pivots. New episodes out every Wednesday. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.